All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Gimel and Aleph. B'yom Tov Chamisha, B'yom HaKippurim Shisha, B'Shabbat Shiva. So we had in the Mishnah the layout of the laning for these 3 days. On a Yom Tov you have 5 Aliyot, on Yom Kippur you have 6 Aliyot, and on Shabbat we have 7 Aliyot. The Mishnah then continued and says, Ein po chatim mehen, you can't have less than them. Aval Musifim alehen, you can add to them. And we saw there a machloket harishonim about the Musifim alehem, whether that was just referencing Shabbat, or was that referencing everything that came before. Rashi seemed to indicate that it referenced everything before. I'm going to see Tosafot today also says a similar thing, that it references all of them, that you can add on to any one of them. The Ran, on the other hand, believed that you could only add on to Shabbat because the number of liot actually indicates a hierarchy in the Kedusha. So 5 for Yom Tov, then Yom Kippur, which is more Kadosh, 6, and then Shabbat is 7. If you were able to add on, that would ruin that hierarchy, except for Shabbat. Since it's the highest number, then you can add on to it without causing any problems. Mar says, Matnitan Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Ishmael, velo Rabbi Akiva. Neither one of them can be the author of the Mishnah, the Tanya. V'yom Tov Chamisha, uv'yom HaKippurim Shisha, uv'Shabbat Shiva. So as far as this aspect is concerned, this matches our Mishnah. 5 for Yom Tov, 6 for Yom Kippur, 7 for Shabbat. Ein po chatim hen, vein musifim alehem, divi Rabbi Shmuel. So here's the problem. Rabbi Shmuel says that you're not allowed to have less than that, but you're also not allowed to have more than that. So as far as the numbers are concerned, Rabbi Shmuel matches our Mishnah, but as far as the statement here that you're not allowed to add on to them, that does not correlate with our Mishnah. So Rabbi Shmuel can't be the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Omer, b'yom tov chamisha, uv'yom kippurim shiva, u'shabbat shisha. That Yom Tov gets 5, Yom Kippur gets 7, and Shabbat gets 6. Ein po chatim mehen, aval mosifim alehen. Now, as far as the numbers are concerned, Rabbi Kiva does not correlate with the Mishnah, because he says Yom Kippur has the most aliyot, and Shabbat is below that. On the other hand, the statement of al-Mosifin alehen is in accordance with our Mishnah. So neither Rabbi Akiva's position nor Rabbi Shmuel's position individually will match up with our Mishnah. So Mani, who is the author of the Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel kasha tosefet. If it's Rabbi Shmuel, then you have a problem from the statement that he says you can't add on aliyot, and our Mishnah says you can. Rabbi Akiva kasha shisha v'shiva. Rabbi Akiva, you have a difference between the 6 and 7. For our Mishnah, 6 is Yom Kippur, 7 is Shabbat. For Rabbi Akiva, it's just the opposite. 6 is Shabbat, 7 is Yom HaKippurim. Amarova, no, it's a third Tana, that's the author of our Mishnah, which is Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuelhi. It's the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, B'yom Tov Chamisha, B'yom HaKippurim Shisha, Shabbat Shiva, again matching the numbers in our Mishnah. Ein po chatim mehen, aval mosifim alehen. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So now it's fine because it says you can't go below that, but you can add on. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So now we found the author of our Mishnah. The only problem is Kashid Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbi Shmuel. Here we have two different statements in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. So Gemara says, train Tanaei, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel. Not a problem. Two different Tanaim give an explanation as to the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Mantan al-Hadatanyo, who's the author of this Braita? Now this Braita will also help us explain the position of Rabbi Akiva, which seems a little strange. Meaning that Rabbi Shmuel's position that Yom Tov gets 5, that Yom Kippur gets 6, and Shabbat gets 7, makes sense in terms of the hierarchy of Kiddusha. Yom Tov and Isur Malacha generates an Isur Lav. Yom Kippur generates an Isur Karet. Shabbat generates an Isur Karet and an Isur Skila. So in terms of the hierarchy of Kiddusha, it makes sense. And to stack them in that manner of 5 for Yom Tov, 6 for Yom Kippur, 7 for Shabbat makes sense. But Rabbi Kiva, who has it 5 for Yom Tov, 6 for Shabbat, and 7 for Yom Kippur, how do you explain that order? So now we're going to have a Braita who we don't know the author of, and obviously the Gemara is going to assume that it's Rabbi Akiva, but based on this, we can explain Rabbi Akiva's position, which is Yom Tov, Me'achrim Lavo, U'Me'harim Latzeit. And Yom Tov, they come later to start davening, and they leave early. Now, it doesn't mean they come late to davening and they leave from davening early, but rather they start davening at a later time, and they end davening at an earlier time. Yom Kippurim, Me'harim Lavo, U'Me'achrim Latzeit. On Yom Kippur, they start davening very early, and they end davening very late. U'B'Shabbat, Me'harim Lavo, they start early, U'Me'harim Latzeit, and they also end early. Now, why? So as Rashi explains over here, it has to do with the nature of the day. On Yom Tov, for instance, where beforehand they have to be litroach b'sudat Yom Tov, they have to prepare the sudah for Yom Tov, so they need the time beforehand in order to prepare, before davening, in order to prepare the meal, to get the food ready, because Melechet Ochel Nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov itself. Then Meharim Latzeit, they go out early because, again, they have the opportunity for Simchat Yom Tov. So there's a reason to start davening a little later, and there's also a reason to end davening a little earlier. So in order to facilitate that, we'll say, let's assume that it has to do with the number of liot, that the laning on Yom Tov will only have Chamesh Aliyot in order to help facilitate the fact that they start a little later, and they leave a little later, earlier from davening. I mean, davening ends a little earlier. Then when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, we said that they come early, they start davening early, and they end late. So again, Rashi over here suggests that they come early because there's no preparations, Melechet Ochel Nefesh is not permitted, and they go later because there's no Simchat Yom Tov, they're not eating afterwards. Others suggest because of the davening, the extra tchinot, the extra davening that we have, so therefore it's going to go longer. So how do we facilitate that? We make davening have 7 aliyot, so that we have more time because there's no rush in terms of they're starting early and they're ending late. And then Shabbat is in the middle, because Shabbat, they say, mimaharim lavo, they come early because there's no permission for melechet ochel nefesh. All the food had to be prepared before Shabbat. On the other hand, Meharim, let's say, they end early as well because there's Oneg Shabbat. So there is a reason to finish early. So we facilitate that by having it be 6 aliyot. So that's what the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Akiva, the Itle Gavra Yotera. That makes sense that it's Rabbi Akiva who says that you get an additional person depending on the time that you have allotted. For Yom Tov, which has the shortest time, you have 5. For Yom Kippur, has the largest amount of time allotted. For davening, you have 7. And Shabbat, which is in the middle, you have 6. Rashi just makes, I would just note here, an interesting note about the Tuba Shabbat Meharim Lavo. What does it mean that they start early davening on Shabbat? Shavar Tiknu, Hakol Me'erev Shabbat. They already prepared all the food from Erev Shabbat. V'yafeh l'maher bi'atan l'krot shmaka vatikin. It's good to start early then and daven like the vatikin. So when he means early, he doesn't mean like 7 o'clock, 6:30. He means vatikin. That's what it means to daven early. Daven early means at sunrise. So Meharim Lavo means that they come a little later. The actual development in Europe, especially in Hungary, for the later Shabbat davening to start much later, like at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, actually came about because they used to learn before davening. It wasn't so that they could sleep in. It was so that they could learn before davening, and so they used to give a window of time to learn when they normally have come to davening. Instead of coming to davening, they came and they sat and had a seder beforehand, and then they would daven. And that was the purpose of pushing back the davening time. And they it's brought down the halacha that a person can start a little later. I know Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I remember davening with him, that every day of the week he would daven vatikin, and on Shabbat he would daven at the 7 o'clock minute. He wouldn't daven vatikin on Shabbat. Based on this, that there was a little, you know, you can start a little later on Shabbat, but not later, like 8:39. The purpose of starting at 8:39 is to facilitate the ability to learn before davening. So the Gemara says, Afilu temer Rabbi Shmuel, denofish sidura diyoma. So even this, it could be Rabbi Shmuel, this has to do with the nature of the davening. How long is the davening? The davening on Yom Tov is the shortest, the davening on Shabbat is a little longer, and the davening on Yom Kippur is even longer. So actually, this layout has nothing to do with the number of liot, it has to do with the davening itself. So now the Gemara says, Hani shlosha, chamisha, shiv'a, kenegin mi. The fact that we have 3 aliyot, 5 aliyot, 7 aliyot, where do they come from? So pligi ba Rabbi Yitzhak bar Nachmani v'chad di'imei. So it's Rabbi Yitzhak ben Nachmani and one of his peers, Umanu, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Or, Vamrila, there's some that suggest Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, that one of the authors is Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Vechadime, and one of his peers, Umanu, and who's that peer? Rabbi Yitzhak ben Nachmani. Vamrila, Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani. And some say that the peer that he was arguing with was Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani. Chanamar Keneged Birkat Kohanim. One of them says it's Keneged Birkat Kohanim, meaning that the 3 brachot of Birkat Kohanim consist of 3 words, 5 words, and 7 words. So there you have a structure of 3, 5, and 7. So again, I don't think that they're looking for the actual reason for the picking of 3, 5, and 7. I mean, that this isn't the reason you lay in 3, this isn't 5 or 7, but you see that these numbers are given significance in the context, Rashi says, and we're going to see in a second, the context of Malchut, or in the context of something that is done b'tzibur. So we see that 3, 5, and 7, we're going to see in the next mission, the Birkat Kohanim must be done with a minyan. And so therefore, in the Tzibur, we see that these numbers have significance. V'chad amar k'neged shlosha shomrei asaf, chamisha miroi p'nei ha-melech, shiva roi p'nei ha-melech. So again, these are different guards. As Rashi says, tachsisei machut, these are part of the protocol of the king, or the way that the proper etiquette with the king. And since this is Bitzibur, and it's only appropriate to have something similar to Malchut associated here, so these numbers are appropriate. Now, what these numbers are connected, in terms of, let's say, Shiva Ruei Pnei HaMelech, as Rashi notes over here, we're in Masechet Megillah, Shiva Ruei Pnei HaMelech is Sarei Parasu Madai, that there were seven of the Sarim of Parasu Madai. Rashi suggests that. Tosafot says, and Shusakash Lomar, Shetiknu Chachamim, Keneged Inano, Sholto Rasha. Why would they ever set up something connected what Achashverosh did? Why is that relevant at all? Now Rashi says it's relevant because it has to do with royalty. Since it has to do with royalty, that's why it's relevant, not because it's Achashverosh. So he says, Shiva Roi Nei Pnei HaMelech, and then he says that two of them weren't as significant, and therefore there is five of them that are considered the Roi Pnei HaMelech, who are the most Chashuv, and the Shlosha Shomrei Asaf. Both of these are mentioned in Sefer Melachim, towards the end of Sefer Melachim. On the other hand, Tosafot says that the Rabbeinu Tam believes that the seven come from the Pasuk in Ephraim Yirmiyahu that notes that there are seven of Roei Pnei HaMelech, and therefore he brings a source that is not from Achashverosh. But again, the idea being here that in a position or protocols of royalty, these numbers have significance, and therefore it's only appropriate that we use these numbers. Satani Rav Yosef, Gimel, Chamisha V'Shiv'a, Shalosha Shomrei Asaf, So he gives that reason of one of the two reasons that we saw before. He says, Abai, who is a Talmud of Rav Yosef, says, why didn't you tell us until now? How come we didn't know this from you beforehand? I didn't know that you didn't know this information. Have you ever asked me a question that I haven't answered? I just didn't know that you wanted this information or needed to know this information. Yaakov Mino, the Rabbi Yehuda. So now, Hani Shishad Yom Kippurim Keneged Mi. Obviously, missing from the structure of 3, 5, and 7 is the 6 of Yom Kippur. So that's what Yaakov Mino asks Rabbi Yehuda, what are these 6 of Yom Kippur? Now, this is a difficult statement because why is Yaakov Mino? Sounds like Yaakov the Min, which is not exactly a positive description of Yaakov. Why is he the one querying Rabbi Yehuda? And anyway, why is it quoted in his name? So Tosafot already, Tosafot does this a lot with regards to names. He says over here that it cannot be that the word is Mino here because then Shem Yerushalayim Yarkav, that the names of the Yerushalayim should rot, and therefore he wouldn't have mentioned Yaakov. It would say Ha'umin Sha'al et Rabbi Yehuda. They wouldn't have mentioned his name at all. We saw earlier Tosafot does this, for instance, if somebody is called Avshalom. And the Gemara, he says it can't be that his name is Avshalom because Shem Yerushalayim Yarkav. So he can't accept that people were named after people that were evil. And therefore, he says that the proper text should read over here that it's not Yaakov Mino, but rather Yaakov Mitzah, or Mitzah. So that it doesn't have that problem. So he asked, these 6 aliyot of Yom Kippur, keneged me. Amalei, keneged shisha shamdu mimino shel Ezra, shisha mismolo. It's really 6 people that stood next to Ezra when he goes to give his speech and read from the Torah to the people. He has 6 people standing on his right and 6 people standing on his left. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk in Nehemiah, Ve'amod Ezra sofer al migdal eitz, asher asu ladavar, ve'amod etzlo. And here they go. Next to him is Matityah is 1, Veshema is 2, Vanaya is 3, Ve'uriah is 4, Ve'chilkiah is 5, Umasiah is 6. Al Yemino, those are to his right. Umismolo, on his left were Pidayah 1, Umishael 2, Umalkiah 3, V'chashum is 4, V'chashbadana is 5, Zechariah is 6, and Mishulam is 7. Uh-oh, doesn't work out so well. He said that there were 6 on his right, 6 on his left. Turns out there's 6 on his right, but there's 7 on his left. So Ani Shiva Avu, Gemara says, what do you mean? They're not 6 there, they're 7. The Gemara says, Hainu Zechariah, Hainu Mishulam. Zechariah and Mishulam are the same individual, but my karu Mishulam, why did they call him Mishulam? De Mishlam be'ovdei. Because he was whole in his masim, that he was basically a tzaddik, and that everything that he did was proper and appropriate. So it was another name for Zichariah, and therefore you have 6 on each side of Ezra. Alright. Tanu Rabbanan. Akol olim leminyan shiva. Everybody counts towards the 7 kruim, the 7 aliyot that you need. Let's assume it's on Shabbat, like Rabbi Shmuel, the way we paskin. Vafilu katan, vafilu isha. Even a katan, even isha. Aval amru chachamim, isha lo tikra b'torah. A woman should not read the Torah, mipnei kvod ha tzibur. because it's considered to be inappropriate that the woman would read before the tzibur. So now here, in terms of the structure, the Ran points out, first of all, that in the time before the takana that everybody made Birkat HaTorah, that the Katan and the Isha could not get the first Aliyah or the last Aliyah. They couldn't get the first Aliyah because he would make the opening bracha, and can't get the last Aliyah because they make the closing bracha, and they're motzi everybody else who comes up to an Aliyah LaTorah. And that wouldn't work because they wouldn't necessarily be able to be motzi other people, a Katan or Isha. So therefore, when it says here, Afilu Katan, Afilu Isha, means it can't be the first or the seventh Aliyah. That's the Ran statement. But he says, but now that everybody makes their own bracha, then it's fine that they can make up the Shiva. Now, he says it's only Bidiavad. He said that it's not the best way to do it, but just because the number seven, it's not an inyan of minyan. I mean, you need a minyan to read the Torah, but the aliyot are not necessarily an issue of minyan or Dvar Shebik Dusha. The brachot involve Dvar Shebik Dusha, that's why you need the minyan. But the individuals accepting the aliyot don't necessarily have to match the threshold for minyan, and that's why a katan and an isha would be okay. But again, the Gemara is sholel the isha because it's kavod tzibor. It's not proper kavod for the tzibor for the woman to get the aliyah or to actually read the Torah. And that in this case of the Gemara's time when she read the Torah, it would be even less appropriate. And for the katan, again, it's the same thing that the Gemara says with regards to halel or with regards to other things, that if a person has a katan, his child or his wife, be motzi him in halel or all these other items, then it's person tabo alav meira. This is someone that's not the appropriate way. It's not the proper way that it should be. So therefore, we dissuade people from doing that, and we'd only call up today, which is our practice, is that we call up to the Torah only males of the age of Bar Mitzvah, although the Teimanim in general have a minhag to call up even Ketanim to the Torah, especially for Maftir, but even for other Aliyot, they call up Ketanim for Aliyot. Ibailuhu. So the question now is, Maftir, ma'u she'ale l'minyan Shiva? When it comes to the Maftir, does he count as one of the seven that you have to have for Aliyot and Shabbat? So Rav Huna of Rav Yirmi Ba'abo, Machloket Amuraim, Chanamar Ole, V'chanamar In Ole. One of them says it does count, and one of them says it doesn't count. Madamar Ole Dahakari. The one who says he counts towards the seven Kruim is because he's reading from the Torah. Madamar In Ole Kidula. So then, why is he reading from the Torah? Damar Ula, Mipnei Ma Maftir Ben Avi Tzarich Shikra B'Torah, Tchila. Why is it the person who gets Maftir and is going to lay enough Torah have to get an Aliyah? Mipnei Kvod HaTorah. So in order to give Kavod to the Torah, so that it shouldn't be there's parity between the Navi and the Torah. If you called up seven people to the Torah and then you called up an eighth person to the Navi, it would make it look that the Navi is on parity with the other seven Aliyot. So in order to show that that's not the case, you give the Maftir a Kriya in the Torah, in order that he has something in the Torah, and then secondarily to that, he reads the Haftorah, he reads the Navi, in order to show there's no parity, they're not on the same level, with the Navi and the Torah. V'kev in d'mishum kvod ha-Torahu, l'minyan lo soli. And because it's all because of kvod ha-Torah, then he doesn't count towards the Shiva Kruim. So meitevei, ha-maftir b'Navi, lo yivchot m'esrim v'echad psukim. Whoever lanes the Haftorah has to have a minimum of 21 psukim. Why does it have 21 psukim? Keneged shiva shekaru b'Torah. Keneged the seven aliyot that you got in the Torah. What's the minimum number of psukim that you have for the Kriyat HaTorah? Three psukim. So seven aliyot times three psukim is 21 psukim. So now, im ita, if you're right that he doesn't count, the maftir doesn't count towards the seven kruim, then you really have eight kruim. It should be eight times three. It should be 24 psukim. It says, no, kevin debishum kvod ha-torahu, the only reason you're calling that last aliyah is not because he's separate or independent, it's because of kavod ha-torah, kenegdo nami lo bayit, then you don't need psukim in the haftorah to be keneged that. So now, matki flo rava, vahare, is that really true that you need 21 psukim in the haftorah? Vahare olutechem sfu, which is a miyahu perek zayin, which is the haftorah for pashat tzav. And after Afra Pashat Tzav has less than 21 psukim in it. So he says, what about Odechem Sfut Lav in Esrim V'chad? V'karinan, and we still read that Haftorah. Shani Hotam D'Solik Inyono. This is Tosfot has brought this up numerous times here in Tanit and other places, Rosh Hashanah, which is the topic ended. That as long as the topic is relevant to continue laning, then you can add on Aliyot and you can add on psukim. If you end the topic, then that choice does not exist for you. So for instance, on Rosh Chodesh, where we talked about the problem, Rosh Chodesh had 8, 2, and 5, and trying to break up the Aliyot, there's no option to continue laning over there because the topic changes. It's not relevant to Rosh Chodesh anymore after you get through the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh. So there you can't add on. So to over here, when we say there's a minimum of 21 psukim, that's as long as it's topically relevant. But if you have a self-contained topic, like here by this perek in Yirmiyahu, then to continue laning just to get to 21 psukim doesn't make sense because it's just not topically relevant. And that's why we would read less. So now the Gemara says, is it really true where the topic does not change and you continue reading that you have to read a minimum of 21 psukim? There are many times that I was before Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Karina Nasara Psuki. We used to read 10 psukim in Haftarah. Amarla Nifsiku, and he would say, that's enough. So the Gemara answers, Makom Sheish Miturguman, Turguman Shiny. In a place where they have the translator, it's different. Meaning that they would read the psukim, and then they would be mitargim them into Aramit. The Tani Rav Chaflifa by Shmuel, Lo Shanu Al Makom Shein Turguman. That's only true in a place where they don't translate, where they don't have the Turguman there. Aval Makom Sheish Turguman Posek. In a place where you have Turguman, you can end before the 21 psukim. Rashi says, for a very simple reason, Tircha Ditzibura. It's basically about duration. Duration, if you read the Haftorah just without a Meturgaman, 21 psukim would take up so much time. But when you're using it with the Turgaman, it takes up much longer. So therefore, by the time you get to 10 psukim, it's already too much of a Tircha Ditzibur to keep reading, and therefore we don't go over that number of 10 psukim, or you don't have to go over the number of 10 psukim. The Ran actually quotes as a quantitative matter. He says, well, you have the 10 psukim of the Haftorah, 10 times that you translate it, so that's 20. And he says they read the last pasuk of the Haftorah twice in order that they get to 21 psukim. So they actually get to 21 psukim, just not all in Hebrew. You know, one in Hebrew, one Aramaic. So they get 10 in Aramaic, 10 in Hebrew, plus the last pasuk is read over a second time. All right, so now I just want to go back here because there's a Tosafot here deals with some of the issues with regards to maftir, which is our practice. So he says over here, Pasak Rabbeinu Tam, the Kaimelan Kamanda Marule. Rabbeinu Tam paskins that we go according to the one who says that the Maftir is Ole the Minyan Shiva, and the Rif paskins the same way. The Rif says, and he proves it, he has proofs that he brings down from the Gemarot, that the Maftir does count to the Minyan Shiva. Now he says, as far as certain things are concerned, we know that for sure. So for instance, Mincha Natanit, where Mincha on Yom HaKippurim, times where we read a Haftorah that is associated with laning, where we don't add on psukim, there it's clear that it's ole the minyan shiva. In that case, or there it's not shiva, it's ole the minyan shlosha, that it counts to one, towards one of the three aliyot. So in any case, with the exception of Yom Tov, Shabbat, and Yom HaKippurim, if you have a Haftorah, it's clear that Haftorah is ole the minyan, counts as one of the aliyot. But that's the way we paskin all the time. But the Rabbeinu Tam suggests over here, and this is what I mentioned to you before, Tosafot holds like Rashi in this matter, he says, Aval b'Shabbatot yomim tovim yom kippurim shacharit amaftir lo havi min haminyan. The maftir doesn't count for the minyan, not because the halacha is that way, but keven shemutar lo sif alehem, since you're allowed to add psukim, right, yocholim anu lasot min agenu alibe dekuli ama, then we can incorporate all the different shitot, because basically you can lay in a sixth aliyah on Yom Tov, you can lay in a seventh aliyah on Yom Kippur, and an eighth aliyah on Shabbat. So it doesn't matter whether it's Ole or not Ole, you just read the Maftir as the extra one, and then it works according to everyone. Because whether he's Ole the Minyan or not Ole the Minyan is irrelevant, since you're allowed to add on the Aliyot. Now this is the Shita Rashi, and here Tosafot is seconding that, which is that you're allowed to add Aliyot on all of these times, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbat. So therefore, the Psak Halacha, according to almost all the Rishonim, is that the Maftir is Ole the Minyan. So then, how exactly does our practice work? So that's what Tosfot asks over here. Vekasha lefi minageinu, shanu nogim b'chosha betot ha-shana, shemaftir chuzer v'koreh ma shekaru ha-rishonim. The way that we have our maftir do it is he reads that which was read already by other people. So how does that work? If first of all, what would be the question now? He says, if that's the minhag, and our minhag comes from the time of Tanaim, or the time of the Amoraim, then what was the question of the Gemara over here? Whether he's Ola the Minyan Shiva or he's not Ola the Minyan Shiva? You know what? The answer is very clear. He's not Ola the Minyan Shiva because you're reading part of the Torah that was already read by other individuals. So why did the Gemara have a question at all with regards to this? So Tosafot says that our minhag developed from a change. It develops from a change in the way that we dealt with this maftir, which is that we began to say Chatzi Kaddish. That we began to say Chatzi Kaddish between the laning of the Torah and the Maftir. By doing that, we clearly demonstrate that the Maftir is not Oleh the Minyan Shiva. It's not counted towards the Aliyot of the day. Because the Kaddish is a Mafsik, it's a delineator. And that delineator shows that it's definitely not one of the Aliyot of the day. Once you've done that, then the person who gets Maftir can read over what someone else read because they're not counting towards the Oleh, the Minyan Shiva, they're not Oleh to the Minyan of the Aliyot of that day. So Tosavot says that our Minhag developed from another part of our Minhag, which is the idea to insert the Chatzi Kaddish. But again, it's a chicken and egg scenario. They put in the Chatzi Kaddish to demonstrate that the Maftir wasn't part of the Oleh, the Minyan Shiva. But the reason that the Maftir is not Oleh, the Minyan Shiva is because we have the Kaddish there that breaks it up. So he says that that developed to show and to break off the minyan, break off the maftir from that. And he gives an example. He says the same thing applies. It's very important to Tosafot. Because this Tosafot argues on Tosafot and Gemara and Brachot. Tosafot and Gemara and Brachot does not think this. Tosafot and Gemara and Brachot says that we do smichat gula l'tfilah at Ma'ariv. And that we daven at Gal Yisrael and then we connect it to Shmoneh Esrei in Ma'ariv. Number one. And number two is that even though Ma'ariv is a reshut, kablu alav chuvah. People accept it as a chuvah. But Tosafot says something over here. He says, that in the time of Chachamim, they didn't say Kaddish before Maftir, but Maftir. Maftir after the Shas was put together, that they did it on purpose to show that Tfilat Arvit's Rishut, so they put a Mafsik in there. They put in something there to separate the Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen and the Chatzi Kaddish. So that divides up and shows you that it doesn't matter that we're breaking up between Gal Yisrael and Shmoneh Esrei. That it's really just the Rishut and the Kaddish and the extra Tfilot there are to show that it's a Rishut. It's actually not, as Tosafot suggests in Brachot sometimes, that the Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen was in place of Shmoneh Esrei at one point because as Shmoneh Esrei as Karot of Shem Hashem. And that's why they say the Chatzi Kaddish afterwards, or it's part of Geula Richta. None of that is mentioned here. Tosafot says it was intentionally done to be a mafsik, to stop and to show you that Tfilat Arvit is a reshut. And so too by the Kaddish of the Maftir. Now, there's one thing that the Rashba says. The Rashba says something very interesting. He says, even according to the one who says that a Maftir is not Oleh the Minyan Shiva, he doesn't count as one of the Aliyot, you can use him to finish off the Parsha. So, for instance, if you had a parsha and you broke the parsha into 8 sections, the first 7 would count as aliyot, and the 8th one was the maftir can read that 8th section, even though it's a new part of the parsha that wasn't read yet. Now, that's not relevant for us because we repeat with the maftir, so we don't have this problem, but it does come up. It does come up in instances for when we have a special maftir. So, for instance, when it's Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbat, where we lay in the parsha, we give the 7 aliyot, and we read the maftir from Rosh Chodesh. That maftir, we're reading the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh, which we're supposed to read. It's a takanat chazal to read it. Takanat chazal to read minyana diyoma, to read Rosh Chodesh on the day. And yet we're giving it to the maftir, which doesn't count as one of the minyan shiva. So that's what the Ran says, that if api the Rashba, it turns out to be fine. Because the Rashba tells us that even if you think the Maftir is not Oleh the Minyan Shiva, he still can lean what's relevant from the day. He still can, that could be part of the Torah reading that we must read on that day. And so that's what we end up doing. In those cases where we take out multiple Sifrei Torah, the Maftir does read from something that is not read before, and yet it does count towards our leaning process. Now the Tosafot says, why on Shabbat do we not do what we do on Yom Tov? And other days where, like Rosh Chodesh, or any other day where we have a special maftir, which is we read from the Korban Hayom. Why don't we read the Korban Hayom for Shabbat? Uviyom HaShabbat Shnei Kevasim. Why don't we just read that, and then that would be the Haftorah for Shabbat. So Tosafot gives two answers. One answer is that Uviyom HaShabbat is only 2 psukim, and to read from extra stuff around it wouldn't be so relevant, so therefore it wouldn't work out. Or, number two is, he says then, you'd have a problem, because we know that we read the Haftorah from the Eina Maftir. Whatever the Maftir thematically is, that's what we read the Haftorah from. So he says, well, if you read of Yom HaShabbat every Shabbat, guess what? You'd have the same Haftorah every Shabbat. And then it would become a little silly, because then what's the point? You're reading the same Haftorah every Shabbat, week after week. The whole idea of the Haftorah were to give you a semblance or some connection to the Parsha. Over here, you're just going to read something that's connected to Shabbat, and it would no longer have that relevance. The other possible answer is that we only read korbanot that are brought for kapara. And since all the korbanot of Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, as the Gemara in Shavuot tells us, are for kapara, therefore we read those as haftarot, because of the principle, which is Unashama Parim Svateinu, that by the fact that we read the haftarah, we read these parshiot of the korbanot, it's ki'ilu hikrivum, as if we brought them. But since the korbanot of Shabbat are not for kapara, therefore we don't read them as maftirs. Those are three different reasons. Tosafot says that we don't read the korban over Yom HaShabbat, Shnei Kvasim, as the haftarah for Shabbat. Right now, moving on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is a key Mishnah with regards to Dvarim Shebekedusha, the requirement for a minyan. Here the Mishnah enumerates for us items that require a minyan. Ein porsin al hashma. I'm going to finish the Mishnah and I'll come back and discuss Ein porsin al hashma, because Ein porsin al hashma is very difficult to understand. Everybody, all the Rishonim, Geunim, are trying to understand or trying to explain what this porsin al hashma is. So Ein porsin al hashma, ve'ein ovrim lifnei teiva. Ein ovrim lifnei teiva is chazarat ha-shatz. That is, you don't repeat the Shmoneh Esrei unless you have a minyan. Ve'ein osim et kapeem. You do not duchen unless you have a minyan. Now, some of the other items here in the Mishnah, the Gemara will enumerate as to why. Here, by Ein osim et kapeem, the Gemara never tells you why you need a minyan for Birkat Kohanim. Now, one of the reasons might be because it's subsumed inside of chazarat ha-shatz. So that might be the reason in and of itself, because you need to do chazarat hashatz in order to get it. There are other reasons that are brought by the Rishonim. One of the reasons, the Ran gives a very interesting reason, which is by the introductory pasuk in Parshat Naso to the Birkat Kohanim, it says, Kol Devarchu B'nei Yisrael. So he says, B'nei Yisrael means a minyan. By definition, B'nei Yisrael means a minyan, and that's why you require a minyan for Birkat Kohanim. The other possibility is because we have the pasuk in the Miluim by Parshat Shmini. When they finished the Avodah, it says there that Aaron got up and blessed the Am. So again, that was in a context of a Tzibur. And the last possibility is that it's a Takanat Chachamim here. And therefore, they established that it had to be Tzibur. Vein Korim B'Torah, Vein Maftirim B'Navi. Can't read the Torah. No Maftir in the Navi. Elim Kain, you have a minyan. So over here, according to most, that's just because, not because of Davar Shebekedusha, but simply because that's a Takanat Chachamim. The Takanat Chachamim was that it be done Bitzibur, that it be done in a public forum. Venusim Mamad Umoshav. You don't do the Mamad Umoshav. Rashi over here says the Mamad Umoshav is on the way to the burial. They used to have a practice of going along and of standing and stopping. Which was that they would stop and then people would give eulogies along the way, but it was part of this process of eulogizing and bringing the mate to the Kvura. The Ran, on the other hand, says it's on the way back. It's part of the Nichum Avelim, that the Amidah and Yeshiva is part of the process of returning from the burial. Ve'nomrim Birkat Avelim. We don't say Birkat Avelim unless you have 10. The Gemara will discuss what Birkat Avelim is. Really, we're going to get to it in the Gemara Ketubot. Gemara here will mention it in passing. Vitanchumei Avilim, same thing with regards to Nechamat Avilim. Birkat Chatanim, which is otherwise known as Sheva Brachot. Ve'im Mezamnim B'Shem, or Im Mezamnim Al Amazon B'Shem. We don't bench with Shem Hashem. Pachot Me'asara, with less than 10. Pachot Asara is going on all of these. So you need 10 for all of these issues. Uvibkarka Ot. When you donate, or you Makdish, something to Hekdesh of Karkot, and you want to redeem it, that redemption has to be done with Tisha B'Kohen. You have to have 9 people plus 1 Kohen, 10 in total. Adam Kiyozvan. The same thing is true with a person that is Kadosh, and the Gemara will deal with all of these issues now. The basic issue, which is Minahane Mile. How do you know that the Varim Shibikdusha require 10? Samar B'Chir B'Avar and B'Yochanan Damakra, the Pasuk says, V'nikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. It says that I will be sanctified amongst the B'nei Yisrael. So we're talking about Kedusha. And bringing Kedusha, it has to be B'toch B'nei Yisrael. But what's the definition of B'toch B'nei Yisrael? So, Kol Davar Shebe Kedusha, Lo Yipachot Masara. My Mashma, where do you find that from? So, Tani Rebbe Chia, Atye Toch Toch. It's a Gzer Shav of Toch Toch. Tiv Halcha, V'nikdash B'toch B'nei Yisrael. Tiv Hatam, it says there in Pashat Korach, Hibadu M'toch Ha'ida Ra'azot. Separate away from this congregation. V'atye Ida Ida. And then there's another Gzer Shav. How do you know what an Ida is? What's the size of an Ida? So here we have the word toch, that tells me when you betoch b'nei Yisrael, then you have the Dvarim Shebekedusha. Then we find out that there's a definition of toch, which is ibadu mitoch ha'ida. Ha'ida is already called considered to be toch. But then what's the definition of ha'ida? Va'ache ha'ida ha'ida k'tiv hotom ad matai le'ida ra'azot. So then it says, how long for this ha'ida ha'ra? That's in Parshat Shlach with regards to the miraglim. So with regards to the miraglim, it says le'ida ha'ra ha'zot. Well, how many bad miraglim were there? At this week's Parsha, well, in Parshat Dvarim, there were 10 miraglim that were bad. There were two that were good, Yoshua and Kalev. So ha'ida references 10. So therefore we see that the definition of ha'ida is 10. So mala halan asaraf kan asaraf. So it's a double gzereshava. Ha'ida is 10. Then we go ha'ida ha'ida. And then toch toch. And then we get to the fact that it's 10. I just mentioned in passing, there's again a lot more to say about this, but in both in Parshat Shlach and Korach, it's very interesting that we learn out minyan from two terrible incidents. We learn out minyan from the 10 bad spies, and we learn it out from Adat Korach, from the rebellion of Korach. I mean, why would you even think that that should be the source for the fact that you have to have a minyan? So it's actually, if you look carefully in those two parshiot, the word eda appears many times in those two parshiot, and the word is entirely ambiguous in those parshiot. The word eda, it changes its definition, and sometimes it's very unclear. The Rishonim are arguing about what the word eda means in those cases. And the truth is that the Torah probably was intentionally ambiguous about the eda. And that is because it's not clear whether we can differentiate between the, in this case, the bad meraglim and the people who are listening to the bad meraglim. That eda, who is the real eda? Is the eda the meraglim or is the eda the entire congregation of Klal Yisrael? And the same thing with Adat Korach. With Adat Korach, is the eda referencing the Adat Korach or is the eda referencing the whole Klal Yisrael? You can't differentiate between the two. And that's why Moshe says, Ibadu mitoch ha'ida ra. And the question is, which Eda are they separating from? But you must separate yourself away from these individuals, otherwise you will be considered party to whatever they're doing. So what the amazing thing is that these two parshiot use the word Eda in that ambiguous form, which shows you that certain times that there's 10 people can be like the whole Eda, can be the whole Klal Yisrael. The word Eda is used interchangeably for the 10 Meraglim as well as all of Klal Yisrael. It's used for Adat Korach as well as all of Klal Yisrael. And since the two are used almost in the sense of the word for multiple times, it shows you that sometimes a core can represent the whole, or the whole can be represented by a core. So that is how we learn this out of these two parshiot, which is this idea that sometimes a smaller group can represent the whole. And that's exactly what the idea of Asara here is, that 10 people are Toch B'nai Yisrael. They represent Klal Yisrael. The Rav Soloveitchik in Shirim L'Zeich Aviv Mori writes something of this nature, which is that every minyan is like a tamsit of B'nai Yisrael. They become a representation of all of Klal Yisrael, and it's as if now you are betoch B'nai Yisrael. It's as if you're standing amongst B'nai Yisrael. And this would be borne out by, again, the two examples that we bring from Adat Korach and from the Pashata Miraglim. Right now, going back to the Mishnah, in terms of what is Ein Porsim Al Hashma. Now the word pores, first of all, is difficult. What is the meaning of the word pores? So the Rishonim bring three different interpretations as to what the word pores means. Some, like Rashi, bring down pras, from the word pras, which means half. Because it only refers to half, we'll see in a second, of what you're only going to say half of what you normally say. That's one possibility. The other possibility of pores means to begin, which is the way Yerushalmi interprets the word porsim, means to begin something. And the third interpretation is brought down, means pores means to livarech, to give a bracha to. Now, what is exactly Porsin al-Hashma? So Rashi here gives one example. Porsin al-Hashma is 10 people came late to shul, and the tzibur had already davened. Now, it seems, according to many, that these 10 people already davened as well, but they davened b'yechidut, they hadn't davened in public with the tzibur. So they bein, minyana bala b'yekinesa, d'achar shekaru tzibur at shma, they already read shma, omeid echad v'omer kadish, uvarchu, ubracha rishona shebekriyat shma. You say Kaddish before Baruch Hu, after Yishtabach, and you say the Baruch Hu, and you say the Bracha Rishona Shebekriyat Shema. Now, why do you need these items? Because all of these items are a Davar Shebekdusha. Right? You have, Kaddish requires a Davar Shebekdusha, Baruch Hu requires a Davar Shebekdusha, and now Bracha Rishona, there, according to this, the Bracha Rishona and Kriyat Shema also requires a Davar a Minyan, because you say inside of it Kedusha. Right, that's the kedusha we say inside of Yotzer Or. So that's why Rashi says over here, what's pores? Lashon chatzi davar, because you only say one of the two of the Birkat Kriyat Shema. They already davened already. All they're doing here is trying to capture all the things that you would have said in a minyan. What are the things you would have said in a minyan? So that is Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and Yotzer Or. So those are the things we were said with the Minyan. That's Rashi's explanation of Porsim LaShma. Now that's distinct from Ovrim Lifnei Teva. These people are not davening Shmon Esrei. They're not doing Chazarat HaShatz. This is simply Porsim et HaShema, which is that section beforehand that requires a Minyan before you get to Chazarat HaShatz. Now Rashi over here says that they require a Minyan of people who didn't do it. Tosafot plays around with that and talks about other possibilities of numbers. And there Tosafot says that possibly 7, 6, then Rabbeinu Tam says 5. Talmidei Rashi say that it could be even 1%, but Rabbeinu Tam would not be noheg like the Talmidei Rashi. And therefore, our practice is that we only do something like this where you have 6 people who didn't daven yet. There is another interpretation of Porsin al-Shema, which was brought by the Geonim in the name of the Saburaim, which is Porsin al-Shema is if you want one person to be Motzi et Rabim. It's a single individual is going to say it and everybody else is going to be Yotze. Instead of everybody themselves saying these items and saying the Kriyat Shema, the Birkot Kriyat Shema and the Kriyat Shema, instead of everybody saying it, you can have one person saying it and everybody's going to be Yotze. So first of all, you can only do that b'minyan. You can only do that when you have a minyan. Now the reason for that is because generally we require Shomea Ka'oneh. Shomea Ka'oneh can apply even with less than a minyan, as the Ran points out. You know, we do this by Kiddush, we do it by Abdullah. Shomea Ka'oneh has nothing to do with a minyan. So why did Chazal require a minyan over here? Because Avkan Ruch Chachamim beBerachot Kriyat Shema Shlo Yachad Mevareich VeEchad Yotze Ela B'Tziruf Asurah Mipnei Davar SheBekdusha SheBehem. Since they have a Davar SheBekdusha incorporated in them, which is the Kedusha that is found in the Berachot Hayotzer, therefore they said that if one person is going to be motzi everybody else, then you have to do it b'minyan. You can only do that when you have a minyan together. Now he says that it will apply to Birkat Kriyat Shema as well, even though there's no Kedusha because of low plug. So that's why you required a minyan over here, because one person is going to motzi others. So the way they describe it here is one person is motzi others, and that is for these parts of the Birkat Kriyat Shema, which include Kedusha in it, therefore you need a minyan for one person to represent everybody else, same way that you have it by Chazarat HaShatz, the one person represents the whole Kaal. Now the Yerushalmi says that it has to do with the fact that you only have to start, in Porsin al-Shema, Pores means to start. That you only have to start Davar Shebekdusha with a minyan. But you don't have to end with a minyan. And that leads to the halacha that we know, which is that if you begin an item with a minyan and somebody walks out, you can finish up whatever you are involved in. You can finish it up if it's a Davar Shebekdusha, but you can't go on to the next item. And of course, as Tosfot says, Yerushalmi quotes the pasuk over there, it says, Vayotzim Omer, Vozvei Hashem Yikalu. That the people who leave Hashem should be wiped out. And that people who leave a minyan without a minyan is not proper. But here, they start with Birkot Kriyat Shema, and then it's distinct from Ovrim Lifnei Teiva, which is telling you that that section of Birkot Kriyat Shema is separate from Shmoneh Esrei. So if you have a minyan, you could say Kaddish Baruch Hu, the first bracha Kriyat Shema, or according to the Gaonim, you can have one person say it for everybody, but then you cannot say Chazarat HaShatz. If the minyan left in that period of time, you can't start Chazarat HaShatz. Chazarat HaShatz is considered to be a separate item in terms of the minyan. So every item that carries a separate name will require a minyan at the start point. And that's what in Porsim al-Shema is. Now today, our practice is not to do this Porsim al-Shema in general. We only have the practice of doing it when there are 6 people have yet to daven. Then we have them daven together. And then you can be mitztarif to them, 4 people who have already daven, in order to make up the minyan. So that's how we use this Porsim al-Shema. It's a very, very small part of what Porsim HaShema is, but that's the only way we do it. As far as the Kedusha of Yotzer Or, today when we pass and the Ramban passes this way, that we say it even without a minyan, and that's based on the Ra'ivad. The Ra'ivad who says that it's only Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma. It's just telling over what the Malachim do. It's not telling us that, we're not saying Kedusha, we're just telling what the Malachim do. And since we're telling what the Malachim do, and Sipurim Dvarim Ba'alma, it's not a Dovar Shibik Dusha. It's not a Davar Shebekdusha, you don't need a minyan, and that's the way that we paskin. And the same is true by Kedusha de Sidra, it's true by Uvalot Zion. When we say the Davar Shebekdusha there, it's better to say with a minyan, but we still allow Yachid to say it, because again, we consider it to be Sipur Dvarim, and therefore it's allowed or permitted, even though you don't have a minyan. But of course, much better to do it with a minyan. Alright, now, we already discussed Ein Ovrim Lifnei Teiva, as to why we require 10 in each of these instances. One of them, by the case of Ein Porsin HaShemayin Ovrim Lifnei Teiva, Davar Shebekdusha. Ein Osukim Paem, the Tochanim, we gave the 2 reasons in the Rishonim. in Karim Batarayim Maftarim Benavi is because these are institutions of the Chachamim, and they instituted it Bit Sibur. Now the Gemara wants to know, Ein Asim Ma'amar Moshe Pachot Me'asara, where do we get that from? So Kevin Debaile Meimar Imdu Yikarim Amodu, Shvu Yikarim Shvu, since he has to say, I mean, that there'll be a person there, a MC, that says, stand up, our beloved ones, our dear ones, stand up, sit down, sit down, Batzir Me'asara Lavorach Aro, just not proper etiquette. It's not to be mitarech the tzibur and to have a person come down and MC the whole event. It's only worthwhile once you have a big enough group of a minyan. So it's not inherently that you need a minyan here. It's not inherently because it's a davar shebekdusha, but it's just not appropriate to do it without asara. Ve'en omrim birkat avilim u'birkat chatanim. You don't say sheva brachot without a minyan, and you don't say birkat avilim. My birkat avilim. What is this birkat avilim? It says birkat rechava. It's the bracha out on the street. So Tosfot over here says it's not the Birkat HaMazon that you used to say. That's separate. It's not about the benching, but it's Birkat Shayomim Rechov Ha'ir, Bamadot Shayosim L'Nachem Avelim. The Bamadot that they used to do to be Menachem Avelim, they used to do that on the street. It was a special bracha that was said over there. And that is mentioned in the Gemara Ketubot, and we'll get to it. And the Gemara beginning Ketubot discusses Birkat Chatanim as well as Birkat Avelim. Birkat Chatanim, we know, is the Birkat of Sheva Brachot. Now, Damar Yitzchak Amar Yochanan, Birkat Avilim Basara, Vein Avilim Min HaMinyan. Birkat Avilim requires 10, but the Avilim don't count towards the Minyan. Birkat Chatanim, Sheva Brachot requires Asara, B'Chatanim Min HaMinyan, and the Chatan counts towards the Minyan. And the difference being is that by Birkat Avilim, there's one Bracha, where the Avel himself gives a Bracha to those that are being Menachem him. And the Menachemim give a bracha to the Avel, independent of themselves. Since they're not kolel, the other party, you need 10 independent of that party. If, like for instance in benching, where you say Nivarech Lelokeinu, Nivarech is all-inclusive, meaning both the person who is leading the Zimun as well as the parties to the Zimun are all included in Nivarech. And therefore you can have 10 including the Mivarech. Over here, where the Birkat Avelim, where the Avel is Mivarech, the people who are being Menachemim, they are independent of him. Or the Menachemim or Menachemim, the Avel, they create a separate entity in a sense. Therefore, you need a minion without the Avel himself. In Sheva Brachot, where the Brachot are not excluding any of the parties, it's not defining any party there, then the Chatan can count towards the Asara in that case. Ve'ein mezamnin al-mazon b'shem pachot me'asara. And you also don't mention the Shem Hashem with less than 10 people. You need a minion to mention Elukeinu when it comes to the benching with the Shem Hashem, you need 10 people. Came to buy the Memar Nevarech Lelukeinu, Batzir Masara Lavorach Aro. So here the Gemara gives the reason, same reason that it did by the Mamadot and the Yeshivot, that it's just not proper etiquette. To mention Shem Hashem requires a minion. The Gemara in Brachot is much more definitive about it and says that you require, in order to say Elukeinu, we need some sort of distinction in terms of hierarchy. Because if you have 3 and you can have a Zimun, then once you get to 10, how do we differentiate 10? So we have to differentiate it by saying Elokeinu, because 10 is a significant number beyond 3. 3 has significance, but then 10 also has more significance. So how do I give a sense of that significance? I mentioned the Shem Hashem Elokeinu, as well as the idea of Davar Shebekdusha comes with 10. So therefore there's a reason to mention Elokeinu. Over here the Gemara seems to say that it's not proper, it's the proper etiquette to mention Elokeinu is only once you reach the level of 10 individuals. Now, the Gemara finishes off. V'karkaot tisha v'koin v'adam k'yotze ben. So, menan emili. How do we know this? Amar Shmuel, asara kohanim k'tuvim b'parsha. There are 10 times the word kohen is mentioned in the parsha. It's not one parsha. It's a numerous parshiot at the end of Sefer Vayikra about assessing things that you are makdish to hekdesh. There, if you're makdish v'eimah, makdish karkaot, or if you're a makdish an individual, over there, it's mentioned 10 times the word kohen. So, chada gufei. One comes to teach you that you require a Kohen. V'idach, in the additional 9, have a miut achar miut. It's an exclusion after an exclusion. V'ein miut achar miut el rabot. If you have back-to-back exclusions, if a double negative turns into a positive. So double negative, positive. So you start out with 1 Kohen, and then the next one says Kohen. Well, that's a miut achar miut, because it says Kohen and not anybody else. Double negative makes it a positive. It means I can even use an Yisrael. Therefore, everything else includes Yisrael. Gemara says, wait a minute. So then, the rabot tishay tzurim v'chad Kohen. So that teaches you have 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen. Ve'ema chamisha Kohenim ve'chemesha Yisraelim. Wait a minute, that doesn't make so much sense. The way that you should read it is that you should have five Kohanim and five Yisraelim. Because every first time you mention the word Kohen, that tells you you need a Kohen. The second time you mention the word Kohen, that's a miut achar miut. That is an exclusion after an exclusion, and it becomes the rabot. But then you stopped, because now you reset, and the next Kohen is a start point. So every other Kohen should require a Kohen, and every other Kohen, the even Kohanim, should be a miut achar miut. The rabot should include Yisraelim. You should have five and five. The Gemara says kasha. That's probably the right way to learn it. And they don't understand. They have a problem. They're not sure how the Mishnah got to this idea that there should be Tisha and Echad. It really should be five and five according to this type of limud. Adam Kiyotz Behem, and assessing the value of an individual is similar to Karkot, where it says, Adam Mikadosh, since when can you be Makdish a person? There's no way to be Makdish a person. A person doesn't become Kadosh. So Amar Rabbi Yubo, Bomer, Damai, Alai. Now it's a case here where a person says that my monetary value, I am responsible to give to Hekdesh. The Tanya, Omer, Damai, Alai, person who says that my monetary value will go to Hekdesh, Shamino, Toke, Evan. We assess him like a slave. Meaning that there was an active slave trade in that day. So you could go out to the slave market and say, what would this guy trade for in the slave market? So now I know what his value is. I can give you an objective value for an individual. So now, once I've got that value, that's what he owes to Hekdesh. So that assessment has to be done with 10, just like by Karkaot. Then it says, Ve'eved itkish the Karkaot, and we know many places that Eved and Karka run the same way. Now, Eved over here is referring to an Eved Kna'ani. An Eved Kna'ani has the same status as Karka. It becomes like possession or property, dichtiv, because it says in the Parsha of Eved Kna'ani, V'itna'achaltem otam livnechem achareichem nereshed achuzah, that you will pass down these slaves to your children, like a Yerusha of Achuzat, similar to land or property. So they have their animals, the Eved Kenani and the Karka all have a status of property. Since they all have status of property, Eved and Karka are correlated. And just like by Karka, you need 10, 90 Yisraelim and one Kohen, so too, by the assessment of an individual, if you're going to assess their value as being sold as a slave, then you also require that same number, which is the 9 Yisraelim plus a Kohen. You need a minion to do that. Okay? We're going to stop over here.